Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if in some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Amen.
What have I let myself in for? That perhaps has been the question in the minds of many, many people who have sat in the very front row at this service over the years, as they've been getting ready to publicly profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, our verses from Philippians 3 this morning provide us with a picture of what the Christian faith and life is like. And I have a modern picture in my mind's eye just now which reflects the Bible picture. And I want you to try and guess what's in my mind as I give you some hints of what I'm seeing just now. My picture is one of movement. Constant movement, continuous motion. Heads bobbing, bodies weaving, people moving. There is nothing static in my picture. All are progressing. A seething mass of humanity. Some are dressed fancy dress, some wearing funny hats, but most people are wearing trainers, singlets and shorts, or tracksuits. And there's a big clue. You've got it by now, surely. My picture is of a marathon. And the Christian faith life is like a marathon race. Does that put you off? I'm not very sure that I'd like to take part in the London Marathon, but this particular marathon race I can't get out of. Whether I like it or not, according to the Bible, I'm in it. And so are you, and all of you who have professed faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And the picture of the Christian life as a race is a familiar one in the Bible. Perhaps the most famous words are found in Hebrews 12 verse 1, where the writer says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." So this picture of the race is provided for us in our verses this morning from Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to 16. And Paul, God's messenger to us, tells us four vital things about the marathon. Firstly, and obviously, it is vital to get started in the Christian race. Now that's a real relevance to the nine who are here this morning, but perhaps to other people who are sitting in the congregation just now. Here in these verses, we're reminded in two ways of the start of the race. Firstly, an individual begins the Christian race at conversion. Verse 12, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Here's a youngster at a high school. He's good at football, he's good at athletics, and he's good at clubbing. And it's the clubbing that he really enjoys. So Friday nights find him and his mates at Babylon, Archaeos, and the Tunnel. And some of you are wondering, how on earth does a minister know the names of such places? And the answer to that question is research, which could mean anything. But here our friend is clubbing on a Friday night. But there's a teacher at this high school who notes this lad and notices in particular his skills and his potential. He believes he's good at football, but he knows that here is an outstanding prospect as a middle distance runner. This teacher knows because he's a qualified athletics coach and he's got the certificates to prove it. And he's determined to tap this youngster's potential and make him simply the best. But knowing the pool of other things in this lad's life, this teacher, coach, visits Clubland on Friday night and there sees his potential star making a fool of himself. So, with great determination, single-mindedly and wholeheartedly, he takes hold of him and propels him through the door and gets him home, and to cut a long story short, gets him on the right track, the athletics track. As he gets him started to produce a winner, and the rest, as they say, is history, as a champion is born. The lad takes hold of athletics only because the teacher coach took hold of him first. And at conversion, the beginning of the Christian race, a believer takes hold of the Christian faith only because the Christ of faith has taken hold of him or her. You have not chosen me, said Jesus to his disciples, but I have chosen you and ordained you to bring forth fruit. The race begins seriously when an individual recognizes Christ has put his hand on the life to get him started in the race. But the second way in which the start of the race is described here, not only at conversion, but also in the calling. Verse 14, the second half of the verse, Paul says, God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Somebody has said that the call of God in a person's heart is like the starter's pistol sounding in the ears of an athlete. And you can't start a race without the starter's pistol. Some try to, but what do we call that? Well, we call it a false start, don't we? And there are false starts in the Christian race where people profess with their lips that which they do not possess with their hearts. And the Christian life, you see, begins when a person hears the call of God in his or her heart. You might ask, well, how is this call recognized? Well, the Bible becomes alive and the message becomes clear and the truth becomes irresistible and Jesus becomes real. What's happening? Well, just as the starter's pistol starts the race, so the call of God in an individual's heart starts that person on the Christian life in trusting and following Jesus. So it's vital to get started. And secondly, it's vital in this marathon race not to look back. Verse 13, forgetting what is behind, I press on. Now the word forget does not mean amnesia or some kind of mental block, but rather the word means pay no attention to. Do not be put off by. Don't be distracted with. How many times have we seen in an athletics race the leader in the race coming to the last bend and poised and in prime position to win the race and certainly got the ability to do it. But what happens? He looks round and looks back and loses out in the race. Don't look back. And I think this lesson can be applied in three ways this morning. First of all, to those who have not long started in the race. But when the going gets tough, may be tempted to look back to the old ways and to the old mates and to the old pursuits and to the old habits and to the old sins. Don't. For remember, the old has gone. What does the Bible say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Don't look back. But secondly, this lesson can be applied to those who have been in the race for many years and are perhaps halfway through the marathon and perhaps reaching middle age. But perhaps can never forget some time in the past, in the race, that they slipped and stumbled and fell. And the memory of that fall is still with them. And somehow, the effect of that fall is slowing them down in the race until it's really only a crawl, even if it's that at the moment. I remember many years ago, a very fine young South African runner called Zola Budd, who was tipped to be perhaps the greatest long-distance runner ever. She was just a slip of a girl, but she made tremendous progress in her early athletics career. But I recall one very significant and special race in which she got bunched on a bend and jostled by others, she slipped and fell on the track. And she never got up, and she never got going, and she never finished the course. But really, from that time on, she never really recovered. And it seems to me that probably the fall lived with her and somehow psychologically ruined her as an athlete. And I think it's very possible with believers, and perhaps there's somebody here today for whom the past haunts them. A past fall has crippled and demoralized with guilt, and there is the assumption in that person's mind that he or she will never be any good in this Christian race and never get there. If that's the case, here's God's word to you this morning. Forgetting what is behind, press on. Elsewhere the Lord says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. You know, sometimes I think that the Lord is kinder to us than we are to ourselves. Don't look back. But this lesson also applies to those who are well on in the Christian race and perhaps are approaching the last laps, so to speak, and are tending to spend a lot of their time looking back to the past. Do you ever have a dream in your bed at night when you're asleep in which you look back in the dream and somebody's catching up with you? And the more you look back, the more you're slowing down and slowing down until you find you're running on the spot. And then thankfully you're waking up and you don't know how it's going to end. I remember at school, it seemed to me that one of the most useless exercises that the gym teacher gave us in the gym was running on the spot. What a waste of energy. Running on the spot. Running on the spot. But you know, it's perfectly possible for Christian believers to be doing that, spiritually speaking. Just to be running on the spot. And I think it's a real danger for those who are longer in the race And why does that happen? Well, among the many reasons, there may be this reason, that somebody is looking back to the past all the time, looking back to the good old days and what happened there in the past, and trying to live life as it used to be. Looking back to the past is really hiding from the reality of the present and running away from the challenges of the future. And it gets you nowhere in the race. So there's the second rule. It's vital not to look back. But thirdly, in this Christian marathon race, it's vital to concentrate on the finishing line. One thing, verse 13, I press on towards the goal, verse 14. Now the original language here is very emphatic. What it says is, one thing, the goal, I chase. One thing, goal, I chase. Very emphatic and a very sharp focus. Focus is a modern term, isn't it? And yet single-focused people are rarities in our modern world or postmodern world. 3 months ago, I quoted to you the words of Rod Laver, the great tennis player. I wrote these words down in a book 25 years ago when he was interviewed on radio, and I think it's relevant to our text to quote them again. The great Australian tennis champion said this, I live a life that is focused on one thing. I live, train, and plan for one thing. I don't let anything distract me from this one thing. There's a very old-fashioned ring about it today, doesn't it? One thing men and women are hard to find. But Paul was a one-thing Christian-believing man. As he concentrates on the finishing line, one thing, the goal, I chase. And Paul's finishing line is not death. The goal is life, life to come. When everything is completed and fulfilled and perfected, the goal is perfection in heaven, where there will be no more shortcomings and no more failings and no more failures and no more temptations and no more sin. The goal is moral and spiritual perfection. And that's what he's straining towards. And there's a real athletics word in verse 13. You notice it? Straining towards the goal. Modern television graphically illustrates this word that's used in verse 13. Particularly, I think, in replays of sprints. The 100 meters, for example, where the camera is placed behind the finishing line. I remember watching the great Olympic champion, Linford Christie, after his great triumph in the 100 meters. And the camera was focused on him in the replay, and how graphically it illustrated that he was straining towards the finishing line. You saw the legs pumping, you saw the muscles rippling, the eyes bulging, the neck stretching, as every fiber and part of his being were straining towards the finishing line. And that's the picture that Paul is using here in this verse as he describes his concentration upon the goal that lies ahead. It's the goal of perfection in heaven that's his focus and is to be the focus of all those who are engaged in this Christian race. How very difficult for modern Christians to do that in our culture, when everything in our affluent age screams at us to find satisfaction in the present. You know, our generation is making a ghastly mistake and trying to bring the eternal into the here and now, and to look for instant fulfillment and instant gratification and instant goals. What a myth. For we're always moving the goalposts. The Bible says, keep the eternal focus before you in the race. The Bible says it's only as you're heavenly minded that you're going to be any earthly use. Far off I see the goal. O Saviour, guide me. So it's vital to concentrate on the finishing line. And fourthly, it's vital in this Christian marathon race to long for the prize. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Well, runners race to win. And so in the Christian race, but with one difference. In the London Marathon, there's only one winner. In this Christian marathon race, all win. The prize at the end of the day. And the prize is everything. That's to say, it's worth everything. And although it may have cost a lot, it's worth it to get the prize. And I'm absolutely certain that every Olympic champion would say that. It was worth it to get onto the rostrum. It was worth it to get to the top pedestal. It was worth it to hear the thunderous applause of the crowd. It was worth it to get the medal and to receive it. It was worth it to hear the national anthem playing. It was worth it then to anticipate all the glory which lies ahead. The prize is everything to the runner. So what's the prize in this race? What is it that believers are on the rostrum for? Why is it that we're on that central pedestal? What is the medal that we're going to receive? What is the prize that's ours? Well, we sang about it earlier, didn't we? You recognized it when we were singing the hymn before the message. Christ is the way, and Christ the prize. Jesus Christ is the prize. The full knowledge, a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. This prize is the person that you want to see. They shall see his face. This is the person who you want to meet, though through a glass darkly now, then face to face. This is the person whom you most want to address you personally. Mary, Simon, friend, John, Jane, Jim. This is the person whose approval you want best in all the world. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This is the prize. Jesus Christ, full knowledge of him. A complete relationship with him. And being with him forever and forever, world without end. Jesus Christ is the prize. We'll win him. But Christ is the way as well as the prize. That's to say, we can know him now by faith. That's what happens at conversion. That's what happens at the beginning of the Christian life. And Paul tells us here that we go on to know him more and more. Here's the great aim of the Christian in verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. To know Jesus Christ. What have you let yourself in for this morning? Well, a marathon which ends in glory. So, beloved, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. May the Lord himself richly and abidingly bless you today. In the days of all this long race until we get there to win the prize, who is Jesus Christ. May he bless his word to us. Let's pray together.
O Lord, you know our struggles and our difficulties in this long, long race. But how we thank you that you're with us to coach us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to stick to the track, to keep going, to keep persevering, so that others may join us as well in the race, as we all head for glory, to be with you forever. Oh, what a privilege to have been called by you into this great pursuit of that crown of righteousness which is waiting for all those who run the straight race. We pray that today your word will not return to you empty. We pray that you might be pleased to use it to provide for us fresh inspiration. If there are those who have got stuck in the race, who have fallen and haven't got up yet, by the power of your Spirit, get them on their feet and going again. If there are those whose pace has been reduced to a crawl, get them moving. And all of us need help with this. So by your word and Spirit, bless and encourage us today as we head onwards and upwards. And this we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.